Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Yes, you're tuned to Radio Islam International. The program is called The World on Wednesday. Now, a few weeks back, we were privileged to have Abdullah Bayat joining us as a daily guest for 5 days, and lots of listeners learnt a lot in those days. Lots of youngsters I met as well who were quite intrigued by the information that Abdullah was able to disperse, and they really enjoyed that segment. So I thought I'd bring him back for another cameo with us here on The World on Wednesday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Abdullah Bayat.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ijaz. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. All good, yourself?
Alhamdulillah, no complaints.
Brilliant. Now, last week, the last day, we had a Q&A session, and lots of questions came through. We were unable to go through all of them, so I've managed to keep some of them for now, and we'll go straight into that Q&A. If you're ready, Abdullah.
Gee, all good.
Okay, the first question is, since Ramadan ended, I find that, alhamdulillah, I'm not picking up weight, as it seems my metabolism is flying. The bad part is, I'm hungry all the time, even a short while after I have eaten. Is this good or bad?
Okay, fast metabolism is generally a good thing. And if your metabolism has sped up due to the food you've eaten during Ramadan or some of the activity that you've indulged in, it's generally good. However, there are two things you need to consider. The first is that if you are getting as hungry as you are, and your metabolism is as fast as it is, perhaps you should consider eating calorie-dense foods, or foods that are rich in calories that you consume. Okay, the other option is for you to ensure that you you eat regularly and the timing of your meals. So you want to ensure that your metabolism is fast, but you eating calorie-rich foods that will enable you to replenish your energy levels and to prevent you from losing muscle mass instead of body fat. Because you want a fast metabolism to enable you to burn body fat instead of muscle mass. So your protein intake should be high, and your carb content should be dense in complex carbs and not simple carbs.
Yeah, just on a side note, regards to that person sending in this question, during Ramadan, usually every year, Sehri time, I eat dal and rice, and people are shocked, like, how can you eat that? But this Ramadan, I didn't touch rice for almost 30 days, and I myself seen a huge improvement, and I was quite happy after Eid. But since then, the wife and mother have tried to make up for their 30 days of no rice and back to their usual diet.
Feeding you enough dal and rice remained over the time after Ramadan.
Never a dull moment. Next question, Abdullah. It says here, I come home from training after 9 p.m. I eat then only, not before training. Is this okay?
Okay, just timing of meals is equally important, if not important, as important as the types of food that you eat. So your timing of meals, particularly in the evening, you have an old saying that goes, eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and supper like a pauper. And the reason for that is because as the day progresses, starting from breakfast, your metabolism tends to slow down to prepare your body for rest or for sleep at night. So if you're going to have your biggest meal at night, naturally it's going to get stored as fat as you sleep. So the ideal would be for you to have a meal about an hour or so before your workout, and then have a protein shake just before bedtime. So you're breaking down that meal into two, and whatever you do consume in the earlier part of the evening, till about 6 or 7 o'clock, you'd be burning off during exercise. Your metabolism will still be firing until bedtime. So your timing of your meals is very important, right? Avoid having big meals at night.
Right, now the next one says here, I don't drink fizzy drinks anymore and only drink fruit juices. Someone says fruit juices are just as bad. He puts SMH here, so shake my head. What should I drink besides water, which I do?
Well, water is your best, basically your best hydration source, and also your cheapest source of hydration. It's also calorie-free. So the thing with water is you want to try to replenish your hydration levels adequately daily. But when it comes to fizzy drinks, you want to try to avoid that because there are lots of acids in fizzy drinks that can actually affect your intestines and your absorption system kind of thing. So you're trying to try your digestive system. So your sugars laden in your fruit juices are actually counterproductive if you have too many of them. There are certain amounts of fruit sugars that you can consume throughout the day. Generally, it's between one or two fruits, depending on the type of fruits that you consume, because you generally have three types of fruits. You have deciduous fruits, you have tropical fruits, and citrus. Or the deciduous are the seedy fruits that diabetics can consume. Your tropical are the very sweet ones, which diabetics should avoid. and then your citrus are the acidic ones, which the people with stomach ailments should avoid, and with people with arthritis and so forth should avoid. So you want to try to keep your sugar levels low or your sugar consumption low. So fruit juice are only harmful to you because of the sugar content in it. If you are going to have that, limit it to about one or two servings per day or glasses per day.
Just a sub question to that, Abdullah. Your tropicas and all of that, not advisable?
No, if it's not naturally natural fruit juice, you don't want to be indulging it. Even, you know, you get the clover or certain brands that actually have 50% orange juice or 60% in there, but they're also laden with sugars and sweeteners, so those you want to also avoid. You want to keep it as natural as possible if you are going to go with fruit juice.
I'm just scratching out all of the things that I like that you are saying I mustn't have.
Sorry, man.
Next one, Abdullah says, yeah, I never skip leg day and my leg muscles are solid, but I'm having aches in my shins. What is that all about and how do I treat this?
Shin splints is quite common, and I think the thing with shin splints is not many people understand why they occur or understand what's happening to them when they indulge in shin splints. You can have an extremely strong upper leg involving your quadriceps and your glutes and your hamstrings, but shin splints generally affect the lower part of the leg, just below the knee, between the knee and the ankle. That's the part of the shin is called the tibia. Now the supporting muscle is called the tibialis anterior. So what generally happens is if there's a change, if you're a runner for instance, and there's a change in surface, so if you're running on a hard surface with very little absorption, so if your techie is not right and you don't have enough cushioning, all that shock and all that impact would actually be transferred into your shin, and that could actually lead to muscle weakness. And if you don't have that support structure, you're probably going to experience some sort of shin splints or pain. There are different ways to remedy it, but I can't give you one single approach to it because there could be varying factors, and some of them might be muscle related, some of them might be bone and gait related. Now when I say gait, it might be the way you step, it might be your shoe, it might be the fact that you're supinating or stepping to the outside of your foot, it might be the fact that you're pronating or stepping to the inside of your foot, in which case you need to consult a podiatrist. So the podiatrists are the best guys to consult with regards to biomechanics in terms of gait, and they will generally prescribe what treatment you need, what your gait is, and basically what's causing your misalignment, and prescribe exercises and treatment and fix it. So my best advice to you would be to go and consult a podiatrist. They can assess, do a proper assessment on your gait and give you proper advice.
Wonderful. Next up, they're asking, how much water intake should we be indulging in every day, and is too much water bad for you?
That's a brilliant question, because you have so many people on the water fed, and you need to understand that your body is comprised of 60% water anyway. So your body is very dependent on water, especially for its function and elimination of toxins from your vital organs, and it also carries nutrients to your cells. It also provides a moist environment for your ear, your nose, and your throat tissues. Lack of water can lead to dehydration, and even mild dehydration can cause weakness, and it can cause tiredness and loss of energy. Right, so generally your consumption of water, the Institute of Medicine has determined that males on average should be consuming about 3 liters of water a day, and females about 2.1 to 2.2 liters of water a day. Now this varies from individual to individual, because there's no one set prescribed measure. Alright, so because everybody has different activity levels and everybody perspires at different levels. So if you have someone sedentary, I think that would be the basic measure. The old saying or the old adage that you need to consume eight glasses of water a day, there's nothing substantiating that, but that's generally a good measure for people who are sedentary or inactive. For people who are more active and people who exercise and perspire profusely, you need to be adding at least a half a liter to a liter of water over and above that. So what you need to understand is when you perspire, you lose not only water, but you lose your electrolytes, you lose your sodium levels in there as well. So this loss of sodium levels actually becomes quite dangerous after a while, because if you're replenishing only liquid in terms of water, you could risk the chance of developing a condition called hyponatremia, which means that your body's short of sodium. So every now and then, if you're going to do endurance marathons or you're going to do prolonged physical activity, try to indulge in a rehydration solution or an energy aid or power drink that's laden with sodium and some of the electrolytes, so that you can replenish some of those. And then down to the second part of your question, can you be consuming too much of water? Yes, you can. It's not very common, but yes, the possibility of consuming too much of water will actually shut down your kidneys eventually, and then your kidneys won't be able to expel that water, and it also dilutes the electrolytes in your cells. and then that also could lead to a condition which is very dangerous and life-threatening as well. So too much water, no good, and too little water, no good. But as a general rule of thumb, for males, 3 liters of water a day, and for females, 2 liters. Now, I'm sorry I'm prolonging the answer, but do beverages include water consumption or hydration? Yes, they do. So your 3 liters should actually make up your entire liquid consumption for the day. But your water ratio should actually be over and above, or should be much higher than that of your coffees and your teas and your drinks, your fizzy drinks, or whatever you use to replenish your iced teas. So your water level intake should be much higher than those.
Yeah, just hearing you answering there on hydration, I was just going to ask also on a side note, is there such a thing where you think you're hungry, but you're actually dehydrated, and you overeat, but meantime your body is actually yearning for liquids?
Yes, absolutely. There are certain people who, in fact, some people subscribe to the notion that you need to be drinking a glass of water before meal times. There are certain times of the day that you consume certain liquids and waters especially, and that's actually very sound advice. So before you indulge in meals, solid meals, have a glass of water at least 15 to 20 minutes before, and that should actually help you a lot with, because your ratio, the old ratio, a third of your stomach for air, a third of your stomach for water, and a third of your stomach for food. Now, you also need to understand that some of the food that we consume is also rich in water, like your spinach and your watermelon and all that. And that takes up to 20% of your hydration. So if you don't only want your hydration levels up by liquid intake, you can eat certain foods that are also going to enable you to hydrate yourself.
Okay. And finally, are meal replacements a good alternative? When and how should it be taken, and will I get a beer belly as I get older for mass builder products that I use now?
Okay, asking if a mass builder is good for you, with the different types of products on the market that are marketed, last time we spoke about people and their marketing strategies and how they prey on gullible individuals, with misinformation to promote their product. So basically, in a nutshell, asking whether a mass product is good for me or not is like asking how long is a piece of string. There's no simple solution to that, no simple answer to that, because you have so many different products. Some of them are good, some of them are laden with everything promised on the label, and some of them are just not. Some of them are under investigation because whatever they promote on the label just doesn't exist, or the ratio content is not what they promised. Many of them are laden with sugar because they want to make it tasty. I mean, nobody wants to drink a vile tasting liquid 3 or 4 times a day. Mm-hmm. So they want to promote sales, and because of that sugar content, it tends to blow you up. So a mass build on its own, how do you gain mass? By consuming lots of carbohydrates and lots of sugars. That's going to blow you up. So yes, if you're not doing enough activity via the cardio department, you are definitely, as you age, your metabolism is going to slow down, and you are going to pick up the negative, nasty side effects like picking up body fat instead of muscle mass. You want to gain weight? Yes, that's fine. But you want to gain a good weight. So you want to gain a good weight laden with amino acid and protein to build muscle. But you do not want to get fat. Getting fat is easy. Getting thin is difficult. So once you gain that fat, it's going to be really difficult for you to lose, especially as you age, because your metabolism slows down. Hence, you have to result in more physical activity, and then your recovery rate slows down. It's a vicious cycle. So please ensure that you stay clear from mass builders. If you are only doing it temporarily, make sure that you're burning out enough of those sugars and those nasty simple carbs, so that you replenish some of the nutrient-rich proteins and amino acids within that carb. But do research on the product that you are going to take before you consume.
Definitely. I subscribe to the motto that eat whatever you want as long as you run it out.
Yeah, absolutely. All your nutrients and your beneficial vitamins and minerals and macronutrients exist in food anyway. So food first and supplementation second.
Brilliant stuff. Jazakallah khair, Abdullah Bayat, founder and chief instructor of SKR Mixed Martial Arts Academy, health and fitness motivator. Jazakallah khair for your time this evening. Have a wonderful evening, and jazakallah khair once again.
You're welcome. Oh, it's all good, and jazakallah for having me again, Ijaz.
I mean, always a pleasure. Assalamu alaikum, Abdullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
And that's another Q&A by Abdullah Bayat. If you find that Q&A session with Abdullah Bayat was beneficial and information given helps you, then do tweet me at EJAZ_K. Coming up after the break, we'll be talking to Neil Ruetz on debt rescue. Lots of people struggling with debt. We tell you how to overcome this problem. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International, the world on Wednesday.